Since we want to get practically and not cause more delays, I'll deliver my speech from here. And I hope that you're going to have the technicians fixing the problem by the time I will finish my speech. Madam Director General of the World Health Organization, Honorable Vice Presidents of the Assembly, Honorable Ministers, Excellencies, Distinguished Delegates, Ladies and Gentlemen, allow me first to convey the sincere appreciation of the government and the people of the Republic of Cyprus and my personal gratitude for the honor and privilege you have bestowed upon me by electing me as President of the 64th World Health Assembly. It is indeed recognition of high esteem for the European region of WHO and for Cyprus that is called for its first time to preside this great assembly. I'd like to assure you of my determination and firm commitment to exert every effort for making this a successful and fruitful assembly. To this end, I count on your support and rely on the close cooperation and expertise of all the WHO regional directors. Permit me at this point to express my special appreciation and thanks to the two strong ladies of the WHO with whom I had the chance to work closely, the Director General, Dr. Margaret Chan, as well as Mrs. Susanna Jacob, the Director of the European Region of WHO, and to congratulate them for their praiseworthy dedication in promoting the aims and the goals of the organization. Cyprus is located in the northeastern part of the Mediterranean Sea, and its coastlines define the southeastern border of the European Union. Because of its geographical position at the crossroads of the three continents, Cyprus has throughout its history been directly and implicitly affected by regional socio-economic and political developments as well as natural or man-made disasters. The current situation in the Mediterranean has not as of yet influenced the country's health system. Our health services, however, are prepared to face the challenge of a possible increase in movement of disabled persons, building on lessons learned during the Lebanon crisis in 2006 with the evacuation through Cyprus of more than 38,000 people over a period of 15 days. As was stressed during the high-level meeting held in Rome last April, entitled Increasing Movement of Displaced Population in the Mediterranean Countries of the European Union, Future Challenges for the Health Systems, there is a need to enhance international cooperation and solidarity on the public health aspects of the crisis with the support of regional organizations, of WHO regional office and United Nations. Both with regards as to the current situation in the Mediterranean and to the emergence of new presently unpredictable scenarios. The population of my country enjoys a very good standard of health and a long life expectancy. Priority is given on achieving health care equity and reduction of disparities. Despite the ongoing division of Cyprus since 1974, the government provides health care to all Cypriots, as to both Greek and Turkish Cypriots, as well as migrants who want to attend the public sector hospitals. Our health policy provides for health systems beyond health care and actively pursues health promotion and disease prevention. It also invests on new technologies such as e-health, which is expected to improve system accessibility, quality and efficiency. Emphasis is also given on the effective and efficient use of resources, both being of utmost importance during the current global economic crisis. Madam Director General, distinguished delegates, in the course of this 64th World Health Assembly, we'll be focusing on highly critical issues concerning both global health problems and the way in which we should best organize ourselves in order to be able to respond and deal with health challenges more effectively. Our main aspiration remains the improvement and strengthening of our organization, as well as the strengthening of the national health systems as to render them more efficient and effective. But we have to admit that the World Health Organization has performed of a high quality work, and we all have to be proud about that work that we are all engaged to serve. We are all becoming increasingly aware of the absence of geographical and socioeconomic borders when it comes to public health challenges such as infectious diseases, emergency medicine, and environmental health. The influenza virus was a fast-moving threat which spread with unprecedented speed, reaching approximately 120 countries in an 8-week period. The advances in technology and transportation allowed a phenomenal globalization of the food market, enabling products of distant countries to reach our markets within hours. Such imports, while allowing a perennial and abundant supply of seasonal products, render consumers of different countries susceptible to outbreaks by opening the door to foodborne pathogens, mostly generated by unregulated and unsafe food practices. Globalization has facilitated the spread of numerous infectious agents to all corners of this planet. Similarly, environmental problems transcend national boundaries and influence our health through exposures to physical, chemical, and biological risk factors, and through related changes in our behavior in response to these factors. Natural or man-made disasters, such as a hurricane, floods, earthquake, or technological accident, know no borders when they occur. That's why we need to develop further our international cooperation on the area of health. At the same time, catastrophic disasters overwhelm government resources, severely impact their ability to address needs, and often require assistance from foreign sources. The experience has undoubtedly revealed that communicable diseases, natural or man-made disasters, and environmental health risks have no passports and do not request any entry visa. Recently, natural catastrophes as well as the nuclear accident in Japan stressed once more the importance of the implementation of the revised international health regulations. The tragic events in Japan shall introduce a wider debate about the safety of existing nuclear plants and the establishment of new ones, taking seriously into consideration the potential effects and the need of cooperation within neighboring countries. I wish at this point to convey our sympathy and condolences to the government and to the people of Japan for their loss. International health regulations call for partnership between all countries. Their final objective is to share technical skills and resources to support capacity strengthening at all levels, to support each other in times of crisis, and to promote transparency in the area of surveillance and to respond to public health threats. The agenda of this assembly includes the final report of the IHR Review Committee, and I'm confident that it will be given due attention an appropriate consideration. Some factors which characterize our times, such as the current global economic crisis and its impact on national health budgets, the aging of the population, and the flow of health workforce across countries are influencing the sustainability of healthcare systems and enhancing the need for modernization and health system strengthening. Indisputably, there is a need to reevaluate instruments that can improve health policies and deliver health outcomes in an equitable and sustainable manner. Through this effort, the vital importance of health, not only for human well-being, but also for social and economic development and the future of the coming generations, should be seriously considered. Health policies and policies for health care should be formulated on the best available evidence. By sharing the best practices and by learning the examples, the experience of other states. An item on the agenda of this 64th Assembly that is bound to attract our distinct attention over the next few days is the issue of prevention and control of non-communicable diseases. NCDs represent a leading threat to human health and development. The Global Status Report on NCDs that has just been published by WHO and the recent declaration of the WHO Moscow Ministerial Conference on Lifestyles and Non-Communicable Diseases Control are very significant advances in this global effort to combat these diseases and an important contribution for the preparation of the outcome document of the UN General Assembly High-Level Meeting on Non-Communicable Diseases in September. Health promotion and disease prevention, a health for all government approach, a focus on the main chronic diseases risk factors, the assessment of a well-functioning health system which guarantees specific interventions as well as disease management are of vital importance for all of us. The conclusions on the issues of sharing of influenza viruses and access to vaccines that have been achieved after a four-year-long difficult negotiation, the report on the working group of member states on substandard, spurious, falsely labeled, falsified, counterfeit medical products that acknowledge the growing concern on the matter at the global level, as well as the global immunization vision and strategy, also feature on the agenda of this Assembly and should be given serious and meticulous attention. Another very important topic to be discussed and to be deliberated upon is the Child Injury Prevention Resolution recommended by the Executive Board. This is of utmost importance since it stresses the significance of a multi-sectoral action on the issue in order for the prevention efforts of governments to be successful. In addition, it is important to pay due consideration to the report to be presented by the Director General on the World Health Organization Reforms for a Healthy Future. The need for a transformation of the organization itself in a rapid changing world is presented by looking at aspects such as performance, human resource management, planning, and financing. Also, it places importance on areas such as efficiency, effectiveness, accountability, and transparency of the organization, and proves the need for an ongoing transformation and adaptability to newly identified challenges of our new, complicated, modern world of the 21st century. The expected outcome should be an enhanced organization better able to meet the expectations and, most importantly, to deal with health challenges. Along to the above, emphasis should also be given to the medium-term strategic plan 813, and the program budget of 2012 to 2013, we are confident that WHO Secretariat, along with the member states, will continue working on rationalizing budget priorities for a healthy future for all of us. For all of us, for our states, and for our people. Our work should also ensure comprehensive review on the successes and gaps and agree concrete actions to speed up progress in order to optimize prospects for achieving the health-related MDGs. Today, we are only 4 years away from 2015. Although lots of progress has been achieved, we are lagging behind some of our goals, notably in the field of child and maternal mortality. The fact that still 60 out of 1,000 children under 5 years die every year, dear colleagues, is not acceptable. More needs to be done. We'll only reach our Millennium Development Goals if we genuinely work together, developed and developing countries alike, in close cooperation with all stakeholders. Under this great leadership of Director General and WHO, we are confident that we can achieve if we all work toward these ends. Honorable Vice Presidents of the Assembly, Madam Director General, Honorable Ministers of Health, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced that the debates to be held over the next few days, as well as the resolutions that we are going to adopt, will constitute the basis for a fruitful cooperation and coordination of resources into the direction of achieving a better health for the global population. I look forward to work closely with you so that our deliberations may lead us to a wise, useful, and effective conclusion, which will substantially contribute to achieving a healthy present but a healthier future for our children. Before closing, let me thank in advance the WHO Secretariat and the interpreters and all those who work behind the scenes for having this successful assembly and on whose support we rely for the facilitation of our work. Dear colleagues, distinguished delegates, I thank you all for your kind attention, and I wish that we'll have all this fruitful outcome for the best of our people, for the best of our states and our health. Thank you very much.